declaration or assurance by which a person undertakes a commitment to do or refrain from doing a specified act, or gives a guarantee that a specified thing will or will not happen, a divine assurance of future benefit or blessing, power, the ability to do, capacity of doing, an active property or principle, possession of control or authority over others, the ability to act or affect something strongly, plan, an organized and detailed method according to which something is to be done, a scheme of action, a design. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you and your infinite wisdom set aside a day for us to gather in your name to worship, to praise, and to honor you. Take our time this day, and may Christ truly be glorified. Amen. In the Geneva Bible, the title for the book of Acts reads, "The Acts of the Holy Apostles, written by Luke, the Evangelist." In the King James Bible, the title reads, "The Acts of the Holy Apostles." In the New American Standard, "The Acts of the Apostles." And in the English Standard Version, "The Acts of the Apostles." Those are the four preferred translations in the Perry household. But we all agree the original Hebrew and Greek are best. And that's one of the things in my life that I really, really regret, is that I did not learn to read the original languages of the Scriptures. And I appreciate very much you young people who are in the process of doing so, because I promise you, you will never, ever regret the time spent in learning the Hebrew and the Greek language. I like the title, "The Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Lives of the Apostles." The Acts of the Holy Spirit in the Lives of the Apostles. And Luke, beginning in chapter 1, with the 40 days after Christ's resurrection, and ending in chapter 28 with Paul in Rome preaching the gospel of Christ, he has given to us a remarkable account written of these acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles, the first years of the church. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Luke's prologue. "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing or infallible proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised." Wait for the promise of the Father, "which," he said, "you heard of from me." So what does God actually promise us? What are the promises of God to his children? Let's look at just a few of them. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I love the book of Isaiah. The promises of the Father. Verse 29. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired. And if as a youth you grow weary and tired, just think about us old folks, how weary and tired we are. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. He promises us that if we wait, if we are patient, we will have new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. What a treasured promise from the Father. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what a promise. You definitely will be saved. You will be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And it was so hard just picking out a few of the promises of the Father to briefly go over this morning. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And what does he promise us? Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That is a promise of the Father. You will not be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it. How do we escape? How do we endure? It's the promise of the Father. He will provide a way of escape. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Verse 19. A treasured promise of the saints through the ages. You think about the saints that were able to read this letter shortly after Paul wrote it and see this promise. And here we are. Here we are. Almost 2,000 years later, we're reading this letter. And the promise is the same. The promise of the Father. And my God shall supply most of your needs. No. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Back to Acts chapter 1. What is the promise of the Father here to the apostles? He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you have heard of from me. For John baptized with water. And here's the promise from the Father. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Father to the apostles here, 40 days after the resurrection, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The Greek word for baptized, baptizo, it literally means to make fully wet, to cover wholly, wholly, with a fluid. And what the Father is promising here is you are about to be completely and totally immersed by the Holy Spirit. Not just a little bit. They had seen the baptism of John. They knew what the process was. We have seen it. We know what the process is. It's not a little bit of water in your palm. It's completely and totally immersed. And you will be baptized completely and totally immersed by the Holy Spirit. That is what the Father is promising to the apostles. In my life, why do I not believe and claim the promises of the Father? The Scriptures are full of the promises of the Father. I have read them for years and years and years. I know what they are. So why don't I believe them all, and why don't I claim them? Oh, me of little faith. Oh, me of little faith. Have I forgotten who actually gives the promises? You know, our lives are littered. Our lives are littered with broken promises. Those made to us and those made by us. But never, never, it's impossible for a promise of the Father to be broken. And He gives those to me. He gives those. He gives every single one of them to me. And have I forgotten who actually is giving them? It's the Father. It's the Creator of everything. Do I really know whom I have believed? Sure, I believe. But how far does my knowledge, how far does my wisdom go? I can take what the Word says and casually believe it. But do I really know whom I have believed? The promises of the Father. When I got up this morning, the alarm went off. My beloved alarm clock. Some mornings you just despise it. It went off because of electrical power. I get up, turn the light on, go in the kitchen, turn the light on. I just don't ever think when I do these things what's actually happening. So I go through my routine, make the coffee, cut the eye of the stove on. There's power involved there, electrical power. They do not call it Alabama Power for nothing. Every month we pay that Alabama Power bill. We get ready to leave. We get in the car. The power of the car we call horsepower. Now, Micah knows the horsepower of the car we drove this morning. I do not. But there was power involved in getting us here to this building. Horsepower. We live in a town, a county, a state, a country that's protected by military power. Military power. I have a nephew who is over in the Middle East as I stand here this morning, protecting us. We live in a town, a county, a state, a country that's governed many times to our dislike by political power. Verse 6, Acts chapter 1. And so when they had come together, they, the apostles, were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. What were the disciples looking for here? What were they looking for? They wanted a political kingdom. They were remembering what it had been like in the glory days of Israel. So they're thinking Jesus is meaning he's going to give back to us this power that we had a few hundred years back. And Micah has been studying through the book of Daniel, and he's taught us many lessons from the book of Daniel. Y'all remember the four beasts? What were the four beasts, Micah?
In chapter 7.
The four kingdoms. The four kingdoms representing the Babylonians, the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. Those four. The Jews were tired of those four. Those four earthly kingdoms had ruled Israel basically for several hundred years. They were tired of it. The apostles specifically were tired of being oppressed by the Romans. They did not care for the Romans at all. They did not care for the Romans at all. They were wanting a political kingdom. Please, Lord, take us back to the glory days of David and Solomon, when Israel had power and strength and might in the eyes of the world. That's what they were looking for. Political power. And Jesus says, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power. Not political power. It's a different kind of power here. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And there are two words for power here. And the King James uses our word power in verse 7, which the Father has fixed by his own power, but you shall receive power. It's not the same word in the Greek. The first word, exousia, which the New American Standard translates as authority, and that's actually a better translation of the word than power, but it means force, mastery, a magistrate, a potentate. And the second word, word used for power here is dunamis, and it means a force, literal or figurative, miraculous power. And both of these words for power are used throughout the New Testament. But the second one, but ye shall receive dunamis, power. Every year, the Nobel Prizes are given. Physical science, chemistry, medical science, literary work, and peace. In 1867, Alfred Nobel, Swedish inventor, took nitroglycerin and he mixed it with an inert stabilizing compound. He put a blasting cap on it and he discovered a very powerful explosive. And he named it dynamite. And he took the Greek word dunamis for power, for force, miraculous power. And he called his new invention dynamite. And that's when the word dynamite appeared in the English language. Alfred Nobel. A few years before he died, his brother passed away. And in the newspaper, the obituary made an error and said it was Alfred Nobel that had passed away. And in the obituary, they called him the merchant of death. Dynamite had good uses. You could use it in mining. You could use it in building, construction. But it also, you know, you just think about dynamite being invented and what you can do with it. So they called him the merchant of death because people were using it for military purposes. And, you know, a stick of dynamite can take out quite a few people. And it bothered him so much that in his will, he gave basically his entire fortune to set up these Nobel Prizes. So the man who invented dynamite, we now give out every year the Nobel Peace Prize. Very interesting story there. But what is this power, this dunamis, given to us by the Father? Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised. There's another promise of the Father. Beforehand, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared with power, dynamite, be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Dunamis, power. Verse 16, same chapter. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, it's the dynamite, the dunamis of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the dynamite that works within us, according to the power that works within us. Hebrews 11, verse 11. It is such a great discipline to take the scriptures and to take my Strong's and look at a word and just spend sometimes hours wrestling with one word in the scriptures. Hebrews 11, verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability. New American Standard, the word is ability. In the King James, I believe it's strength. You know what that word really is? Power. The Greek word, dunamis. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. It's the word power. Sarah experienced dunamis, the power to conceive. Why is there no power in my life? Why is there no power in my life? Do I quench the Spirit? Am I wallowing in mediocrity? Am I okay that things are mediocre? Am I just going to live my life being content with mediocrity, like a pig in the mud? You know, you see that pig is just laying there in the mud. It's what pigs do. They wallow in the mire, eventually becoming bacon. Am I content with mediocrity? What about sin, which so easily entangles? The sin in my life that hinders me from running that race. Do I just let it be? Do I just let it be? Do I have broken fellowship with my Lord? These things, can sap, they can drain, they can hinder the power of the Lord in my life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And what's going to happen when you receive this dunamis, this dynamite? What's going to happen? You shall be my witnesses. You shall be my witnesses. So what are the Father's plans for us? That was His plan the apostles. What are the Father's plans for me? Let's look at just a few. And the scriptures are filled with God's plans for us. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, verse 1. What are the Father's plans for us? I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. What's the plan? Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. not a dead sacrifice, not an unclean sacrifice, but a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We want to worship when we come here. The plan is present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. And do not be conformed. This is the plan. Do not be conformed. It's also a command to the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. Last week we talked about proof. That you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 12. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. You know what the plan is? Be grateful to those who labor among us. How many times have gone by when I should have thanked my pastor for his labor? We're supposed to. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. You know, it's God's plan that we don't bicker and gripe among ourselves. It is His plan for us to live in peace with one another. No baggage needs to be brought into this place. If we're squabbling, if we have strife it needs to be left outside. It does not need to be brought into this place. And we know what needs to be done to resolve it because the Scriptures instruct us accordingly. The plan, live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always, what's the plan? Always seek after that which is good to one another and for all men. Ooh, that's a tough plan. Another plan, rejoice always. That is really contrary to my nature. Because I am of the pessimist type. And for me to rejoice always, it just goes against my nature. But regardless, it's still the plan. It is still the plan. Rejoice always. Not occasionally, but always rejoice. Pray without ceasing. Ooh, pray without ceasing. Not three or four times a week, or not when I'm in a bind and I cry out to the Lord, Lord, I'm in a mess. You got to help me here. No, pray without ceasing. Our entire being, our total existence is to be an expression of prayer. Our entire being, our total existence should be an expression of prayer. In everything, give thanks. Oh, that's a tough plan right there. That is a tough plan right there. But it doesn't say just give thanks when you really want to, or give thanks when you've been given something that pleases you. No, we're to give thanks when we're given something that displeases us. And everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's the plan. In everything give thanks. Do not quench the Spirit. Oh boy. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. But examine everything carefully. Just because a godly person says something, that does not necessarily mean it is always true. Examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. And those devices that we have can be included in that every form of evil. You know, I love old Pooh Bear. Takes his finger. He goes, think, think, think. If we would, we take that finger and we tap that device. We need to be taking that finger and tapping the side of our head, telling ourselves to think. We don't need to be letting that device think for us. And how guilty I am. How guilty I am. Abstain from every form of evil. What about specific plans? Lord, who do you want me to marry? Lord, what do you want me to do about my job? You're not going to go to the Scriptures and find a verse that has your name in it telling you the name of the person that you're supposed to go marry. Specific plans. What about those? They're still really in here. Now, Lord, who do I marry? Well, if you're a young man, go look at the women of the Bible that became wives. Look at what the Lord says about that godly woman. You can eliminate a lot of people. If you just go look at the basic instructions that the Bible gives. Lord, what do you want me to do about my job? What is my specific life calling? Ask Him. Take the Scriptures and diligently search work, job, task. Ask Him. The Lord will reveal specific, detailed plans. Each of His children, we just have to go before Him, diligently seeking. Back to Acts chapter 1. What is the plan here for the apostles? The promise, the power, and the plan. And the plan is, it's threefold. Threefold. The New American Standard, I think, puts the comma in the right place. You shall be my witnesses. That's the plan. You're going to be my witnesses in, number one, Jerusalem. Number two, you're going to branch out. South of Jerusalem, you have Judea. The north of Jerusalem, you have Samaria. The old southern kingdom, the old northern kingdom. You're going to start in Jerusalem first. Then you're going to branch out, Samaria, Judea. And then number three, you're going to go even to the remotest part of the earth. It's a very simple plan. A very simple plan that God is giving to the apostles here. You're going to be witnesses. And here are the places you're going to be my witnesses. It didn't take a 40-page instruction manual to tell these apostles what to do. You're going to be my witnesses. I've promised you that you're going to receive power. And that power, I'm going to immerse you totally in the Holy Spirit. And when I do so, you're going to be my witnesses. Does anyone know where the phrase, the best laid plans of mice and men, comes from? Y'all heard it? Has anybody heard that phrase used? The best laid plans of mice and men. It came from a poem written by Robert Burns, Scot poet, 1785. I will not read it in the original Scots dialect, but I will read a translation / paraphrase of it. But the title of the poem is To a Mouse on Turning Her Up in Her Nest with the Plow. Small, crafty, cowering, timid little beast, oh, what a panic is in your little breast. You need not start away so hasty with argumentative chatter. I would be loath to run and chase you with murdering plow staff. I am truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes you startle at me, your poor earthborn companion and fellow mortal. So here's the poet out plowing, and he turns up a mouse nest. Great poetry can be written on even trivial events. I doubt not sometimes, but you may steal. You might steal my grain, little mouse. What then? Poor little beast, you must live. An odd ear in 24 sheaves is a small request. You don't eat much of my grain. I will get a blessing with what is left and never miss it. I'll never miss what you've taken. Your small house, too, in ruin. Its feeble walls the winds are scattering. And nothing now to build a new one. Of course, green foliage. And bleak December's winds coming, both bitter and piercing. You saw the fields laid bare and wasted, and weary winter coming fast, and cozy here beneath the blast, you thought to dwell, till crash, the cruel plow passed out through your cell. That small heap of leaves and stubble has cost you many a weary nibble. Now you are turned out for all your trouble without house or holding to endure the winter's sleety dribble and hoarfrost cold. But little mouse, you are not alone in proving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men go often askew and leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy. Still you are blessed compared with me. The present only touches you when, ouch, I backward cast my eye on prospects dreary. And forward, though I cannot see, I guess in fear. We do not have to guess, and we do not have to fear. What Burns is basically saying is, you know, we carefully plan, we build, we construct things, we come up with a scheme. But alas, things go wrong. It hasn't turned out like I thought it would. The best laid plans of mice and men. We don't have to fear. We don't have to be upset. Because we have the plans of the Father. We have the plans of the Father. And why do I not seek the plans of God in my life? Why do I not seek the plans of the Father in my life? Do I think my plans are better suited for me? My plans? As opposed to the plans of the Almighty? Do I have difficulty in wanting to be in control? I prefer for things to just kind of go on. No surprises, nothing out of the ordinary. That's me. What about relinquishing my sovereignty in my pitiful little universe? Am I the sovereign in my pitiful little universe? Can I not just give that up? Can I not just give it up? Do I know what is best for my pathetic little self? Do I? When I consider that the book of Acts is a small segment in his story, and history is his story. When I consider what we've looked at this morning in the first part of chapter 1, the promise and the power and the plan, I have to ask myself about the acts of the Holy Spirit in the life of Clyde. The acts of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the apostles. What about the acts of the Holy Spirit in my life? Do you see the power of the Spirit working in me? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Does Miss Joyce say to Mr. Greg, "What was that explosion?" Does Mr. Greg say, "Oh, that was down in Homewood. That was the Spirit working in Clyde. I heard it. I heard that explosion." Do you hear it? Do you hear it? Is there dynamite? Is that power in my life? Am I devouring His Word, the precious promises of the Father? Or am I looking elsewhere? Am I looking to the latest movement, the latest book? Am I looking to the words of men? Am I begging the Lord to immerse me in His Spirit? Or am I consumed with my own power, my own insignificant power? Am I seeking His guidance, His direction, His plan for me? Lord, what will you have me to do? His promise, His power, His plan. Is there evidence of His story in my life? Let's pray. Oh, Father, we long for that power. The power that only comes when Your Spirit takes over us. Please, Father, grant it to us and reveal to us Your will. It is in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.